This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Greetings all. Our Mayor is including this time in his busy schedule to bring us up to date with the Palmerston North City Council budget deliberations. So welcome, Grant.
Kia ora, Anne. Good to see you, and good morning to listeners.
So firstly, some background. So how many submissions were received?
Yeah, so we had approximately just over 300 submissions, and we had around 60 people come and speak to a number of deliberation hearings.
So what was the content generally?
Oh, look, it varied. And like all consultations and public engagement, you'll get groups that are looking to support something or protect something. Be fair to say, with rate capping coming and just that general cost of living challenge, there was a real focus on keeping costs as low as we could. There was a number of, generated submissions from a particular group that wanted to keep rates almost as zero or as low as possible.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Nobody wants to pay more if they don't have to.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, and we get that. But it's a balanced thing as well. So, you know, do we close the libraries? Do we close the theatres? Do we close the pools? Because some people see those as unnecessary and not back to basics. But actually, the city has done a lot of basics pretty well in the last short while. And you're not seeing sewage blowouts or pipe defects.
Wellington, et cetera.
Well, I wasn't going to mention anybody.
No, well, I mean, it was in the news. So which of these were of most concern? As you said, there was quite a wide range and some were...
Yeah, so there was... We went out at 4.9, and so probably about 45 to 50% wanted costs lower and kept in check. And gave us some examples, and that did include, you know, closing some facilities and not funding community groups, et cetera. Again, as I said, it was coming from a certain sector or part of our community. We then had others that were saying, look, keep the lights on, keep doing things. There was a few that wanted some extra stuff, but it'd be fair to say it was a fairly balanced around keep going as you are, and others that were saying just cut everything you possibly can.
Right, so sort of go through with all, not scissors, but the sickles and whatnot.
Well, we'd already done that, to be fair. And look, we have come back and we have cut more out of it. We're getting down now to, you know, cutting fingers and toes and arms off now. So we're down to 3.9. In that 3.9, it's actually 3.3 with a 0.6 fuel surcharge. So we had to factor in all the fuel because the city still runs our rubbish, our recycling. We still run a works department. We buy we don't buy groceries, don't actually buy much petrol, but we buy a lot of diesel to keep our fleets, machinery, et cetera, going.
So does that include the ones that sweep the streets?
Yes, yep, all of that sort of stuff. Now, we've done well in the last few years where we've electrified some of those smaller mowers, some of our smaller trucks, and some of our smaller vehicles are either hybrids or electrified. So we've tried to wean ourselves off and being a little bit more resilient around fuel shocks. But, you know, we had to face the music. And we buy our fuel off an all-of-government contract with the New Zealand Defence Force. So we're getting it at our lowest
rate,
we can.
Right.
So we've got a 3.9 and coming back to council on the 3rd of June. We need to understand the implications of that. It includes some extra revenue because the city gets some royalties around wind farms. We also have been quite successful in some of our external funding for certain projects as well.
All right. So were the submissions sort of grouped and taken to the committees, like you mentioned, libraries and that sort of thing? So did those
It all comes to council. So the council is the, I suppose, in the hierarchy. We have other committees that work through the more operational workflow of things, but actually at an annual budget it goes to full council.
So the whole council had to be involved for everything?
Yes, they are, and we have a number of, as I said, we had a number of hearings with submitters speaking to those. We then had 2 days of deliberations. We ended up at 3.9, which was a good, in my opinion, a good outcome. We can't do much more than that. It was interesting. We had one very intelligent submitter, but he kept going on about CPI, which is your consumer price index.
All right.
And I mentioned the word consumer. We're not a consumer. The council's actually an infrastructure provider. So he wanted us to be going with 3.1 because that's what the CPI dictates. And I get that, and that's the populist view. But actually, we're a purchaser of diesel, of bridges, of infrastructure, of construction. We don't buy many groceries and we don't buy much petrol at all. So it was an interesting conversation when I had with him afterwards about did he get his model and measurements right. And he accepted that maybe that was in question and up for debate.
Right.
So at 3.9, I think we've done a reasonable job. We've kept the lights on. It's pretty skinny and it will change again as our waters department leaves council and goes into the new CCO, Central Districts Water. But, yep, we'll face that when it comes.
Right. So today, which is the 26th of May, all of the submissions have been discussed and all decisions have been made, or are there still...
No, there'll still be... We still need to confirm that budget. That'll happen on the 3rd of June next week. We'll have... In that meeting, we'll either accept what's been put in front of us in terms of the report or we'll change something in it. But I'm pretty confident that we will set a firm budget and then we strike a and set a rate for the coming financial year. And legally we've got to do that in June. That dictates the work programs and what happens thereafter.
All right, and this is for the 26-27 year?
That's it, you've got it.
Starting from the 1st of July,
that's
is that
it.
Correct?
Right. Yep.
So what were some of the general examples and decisions that were made? So you've mentioned libraries and those sorts of things.
Well,
what's happened there?
Yeah, so
a lot of people would think, what, no, we can't do without our libraries or whatever.
Exactly. And to be really honest, you know, museums, libraries, it'd be fair to say that although there wasn't a strong desire by a couple, they were targeted. And keeping the lights on, we didn't want to turn the lights off in any of those facilities. And I include aquatic centres in there. I include mowing the sports grounds. I include keeping the Esplanade and Memorial Park open and well maintained. So it was business as usual. The main focus was business as usual, keeping things going.
Yes, well, maintaining what you've got is what a lot of people would say.
Yes. Yeah, and in the face of massive increased costs, way more than the household has got. And I accept there's discipline and balance needs to come into all of that. But just fixing up some roads at Stony Creek Road and Kelvin Grove Road, you know, Main Street and the bus depot there, all of those things had to be done. And all of that stuff costs quite considerably more than it did, even sort of 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes, well, everything's always going up, isn't it? Very few, if at all, come down.
Yeah, yeah.
So included in the consultation in the draft budget was the special footpath consultation. So there were four options. Can you tell us about what happened with that?
Yeah, so we went out within the annual budget and we asked the community if we wanted to improve the footpath network more than it currently is. You know, 75% to 80% of it is in good or very good order, but there is a number of footpaths that with a big street tree canopy, we have routes that come up through footpaths. And look, people want those things fixed and they value footpaths a lot. So there was four options. Keep the status quo. We just keep improving at a certain rate each year. That was going to take us, I think, about 15 years to get right on top of things. Or we speed up that process by either putting $500,000 in as option two. Option three was an extra million into the footpath budget as option three. Option four was $1.5 million put into the budget as extra. That would speed up the process, bring it down to about 6 to 7 years, and we had quite a wide range. Majority wanted to do something, and we, in the end, looked at in balance of an extra option to an extra $500,000.
All right, so that means an increase of rates, if I remember rightly, something like $12 a year.
Yeah, it works out to about 25 cents a week if you do the math. Yeah.
Right, so those are just some of the examples of decisions. Are there any others that you'd like to mention? I mean, as I said, we had libraries and cultural things.
Yeah, so we've continued with continuing our advancement around stormwater. We're keeping the heat on all our waters work, even though that passes through to the new entity or CCO, Council Controlled Organisation, which we own in combination with Horowhenua and Rangitikei District Councils next year on 1 July 2027. So we're still keeping that going and keeping the investment going. We'll obviously look at our new wastewater plant. That'll be part of the decision-making as well. Probably won't start that in that time frame, but we'll certainly have made a decision and through the consenting process. We're continuing the roading networks. There's quite a lot of work to be doing done on roading. We're still suffering the effects of NZTA's decisions of not putting in the ring road at this stage, so we're pushing hard at election time for that. We're reaping, unfortunately, the unforeseen consequences of that, with our roading network getting damaged consistently from heavy traffic. And probably the only new thing that is happening is there was an agreement to continuing on receipt of our next report around Arena 5, and that's the new indoor basketball courts or facility there for our four new basketball courts.
Okay, well, we'll probably come back to that later, but okay, so have the submitters been individually advised of the decisions?
No, because we haven't formally made the decision. That is yet to happen, as I said, on the 3rd of June, but they will be. Right. So we traditionally have written to all submitters. We're going to get a little bit more individualistic this time, because it's important that we let them know that they have been considered. Yeah, we have. We get criticised a lot for people to see us as not listening, but actually we consult a lot and, in my opinion, sometimes over-consult. So consulting costs money, and we want to just get on and do some of the work. Bearing in mind, we'll probably be one of the lowest rate increases of New Zealand cities this coming year.
So other listeners won't be individually advised of the results, but after the 3rd of June, you're saying that people can find out the results and what is actually going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, all our meetings are public and they're live streamed, so you'll find out, I'd say, about 10 a.m. to maybe a little bit later on the 3rd of June what the council's done. It's well publicised that we're heading that way. But with final decision to be made on the 3rd, and then we formally we let submitters know that's where we've gone and what's happened to their particular interests.
Right, and just recently in roundabout now, there were a couple of current consultations. One was on the Manderson Bush housing, and the other the city designation update. So are these being included in 26-27 budget?
The Manderson block and bush area is a private land change, so that's not really council, but we are the territorial authority. So on behalf of the developer, we have gone out to consult on that, and that is a block near Cloverley, at the back of Cloverley there. It's on the other side of the railway line, so it would be accessed from Gillespie's line. It has had some interest in it before. It's got quite a nice remnant bush area of about, I think I may have these numbers slightly wrong, but I think about five acres of it is remnant bush. So it's going to be the development plans are actually quite impressive. So they go through that process. Look, the tail end of 27, it will probably come to fruition. But, you know, there'll be obviously hearings. It'll be possibly notified. I'm picking it probably will be notified because it'll be affected parties. And it goes through that process. And sometimes that can be sped up. Sometimes that takes a little while.
And the city designation update, what's that about?
Yeah, so city designations, I mean, that's a catch-all around everything from infilling to density, and it's been well publicised. It has sort of slowed down a little bit because of the RMA changes coming, but some of the stuff has been excluded from that, and yeah, it's a bit of a catch-all, and submitters will be, and there has been a few, will obviously go through that process, similar to Manderson's Bush or Manderson's Block.
Okay, right. And from the consultation booklet, there were, was a deferral of a new council-controlled organisation, or CCO, as you said, for social housing. So has that been appointed, or what's happening?
No. So that was one option. So it's fair to say that there has been no real decisions there. There's still been quite a bit of workshopping and debates. It's still a quite divided issue. The city's always done social housing. If you think back almost 100 years to Savage Crescent and, you know, Michael Joseph Savage, the then Prime Minister, putting in social housing there. The city's always been involved in it. That was the government, but the city's always done its part as well. We're at the stage now where we've got to make some decisions because we've got quite a big, reasonable amount of stock, nearly 500 homes / units. Some are in good condition. Some need some maintenance. They've all got healthy home status, but it'll start to cost. Also, the rentals, which are mainly for pensioners, disabled, refugees, families, those sorts of things, those sorts of people who do struggle in the private market, that's who is housed in them. So we've got to go through all of that. It's been, as I said, the CCO or a trust to look after it was just one of several options.
All right. So, and it's not been decided yet, obviously.
No,
so.
And I think it'll go on for a little bit longer.
And that's just social housing, so it's got nothing to do with building three-storied houses in particular areas or anything like that?
No.
All right. So the transition of rates to the 50-50 values, has this been completed?
Yeah, well, this is another proposal, and it'd be fair to say there was a little rearguard action from a couple of my newer councillors who wanted to stop it and roll back the clock. It'd be fair to say, look, horse had bolted a little bit. This was the last year of a three-year transition to a 50-50 land and capital hybrid rating system. There's been changes all over New Zealand, but the vast majority of rating systems are in the capital space. We were land. We were one of the few or one of the last bigger councils to just have solely land. So, I mean, I voted against it. I thought we hadn't upset the apple cart, but I was soundly defeated in that, and of the previous council, and three-quarters voted for it. And look, we've gone through the transition. Probably the pain has been for some because there was extremes. You know, the vast majority of people in the middle, it didn't really affect their rates at all. In fact, in most cases, their rates went slightly down. Right. Lot don't admit that.
And it depends on where you live in the city too, what your rates are.
Absolutely. So that's why we went for the hybrid. Initially, we consulted on a 70 land, 30 capital, and that's what the vast majority of people wanted. At the 11th hour, a new motion was put for a 50-50, and it got support. And look, I don't like relitigating things, especially when they've got a strong majority, and we were going through it all. It'd be fair to say, though, this one, with some newer members in the chamber, wanted to revisit it. It got through, but only just, and now it'll probably get tested again on the 3rd of June, maybe, I don't know, but I just never know with some of my councillors. But I think you'll find this will be the last year, and we'll just take stock there at a 50-50 because, you know, we keep changing things all the time, and I think people would like some stability for once.
So you're looking at the new year being 50-50?
Yes.
Right. So the 1st of July or the July rates will be at that sort of
level. 50% capital value, 50% land value. Some people don't even understand or don't care about that. They just get their rates. They're more interested if it's gone up, stayed the same, or in some cases it actually has gone down.
All right. So central government has reformed a whole lot of things about to. First of all, we had the water, and now they're talking about the Head Start program. So what is the Head Start program?
So look, and just as a general comment, there's been so much reform and changes in legislation, and I've been a mayor for 11 years. This would be the most I've ever seen, and it's like a tsunami coming at you. So you just finished one submission, all governments of all colours have tried to make change, but there's a huge amount of change going on at the moment. So we just got through the waters, and that was quite a big one to buy into. We've been relatively well, despite some opinion, relatively well serviced here with our waters. So we've got through that one, and we're getting through it as we change over. This next one's called Simplifying Local Government, i.e., can we amalgamate and make less of us? So they don't want – the government of the day don't want to be dealing with 78 councils. Now, 11 of those are regionals, and they are gone. They will be gone. They are being extinct level of local government. So the regional government sector will go at the end of this election cycle in 2028. So then the simplifying local government is really around, can we amalgamate some of the territorial authorities? Can they do more in shared services? All those sorts of things. So, yep, a lot going on. And then you've got the RMA, which is, you know, the rules of development and land use. And that is coming at us as well.
Yep. You haven't got enough already to do. You've now got.
Yeah, and you've got to run the city as well on top of all that.
That's true. So we're almost out of time for this one. So while we were talking about water, so what are Palmerston North City Council and Horizon's responsibilities in respect to the Manawatū River at the moment?
So nothing's changed in that respect, but it will change dramatically. So at the moment, we're the territorial authority. We have to, as a municipal body here, we collect all the wastewater that's connected to us. Majority of that is residential, but we have industrial and commercial use. So the city has quite a large what you call a trade waste sector. So that's things like laundries, food processors, dairy industries. There's a bit of pharmaceutical. You include the hospital, plus the university and the defence force and all that. So that all comes into our treatment plant. We need to treat that before that is discharged to levels of a consent, which we are legally bound to adhere to. So Horizons monitor that all the time.
but they're not actually responsible for fixing the problem. So Palmerston North City Council and ratepayers, as you say, are responsible for the wastewater from all of those.
We are. Cool. And look, the trade waste people pay a fee, and it's, if you think about it, it's the cost of doing business, like paying for parking, those sorts of things. They pay a fee, and quite a hefty fee, to use our plant. So that brings a little bit of income. So, you know, it's in, well in excess of 1.2, 1.3 million a year. And we've now got, we've pulled all the companies into, so there's only one discharge now to the Manawatu River. 11 years ago, there was six.
All right.
So we've done quite a lot of work in that space.
But, and obviously you can't do away with it all totally unless you go to putting it on land, et cetera.
Well, the discharge, yeah, that's the discharge. So you've got to put it somewhere. So it's around the treatment. A lot of people forget. You can still put things to water. Culturally, Māori don't like it, but actually if it's treated to the best possible treatment, then in a science view, it's deemed the best way of dealing with it.
Right. And what about weeds and that sort of thing along the river? Whose responsibility is that?
So Horizons are still responsible for catchments, for flooding, for riparian planting, all of those sorts of things. And so they work with mainly the rural sectors on that and rural councils. And they do, and to be really honest, Horizons do a really, really good job in that space.
So if I go for a walk along there and I notice some old man's beard, I should report that to Horizons.
Yeah, you would. And look, there is a little bit of grey area sometimes where the river comes through the city boundary. We're responsible for that part. But by and large, a lot of those walkways that go out a little bit further are either part of Horizons or in a sort of a joint area. So down at Ashurst Domain, technically it is the city, but everything coming into us is Horizons. So we have a bit of a joint venture in looking after those places.
So recently there was a newspaper report that, you know, the Ashurst Domain was falling into the river. So is that our responsibility or does Horizon supposed
That's both of our responsibilities. Right. So we're currently, and I'd have to say that is sometimes a vexed issue where the city's a bit stronger in trying to get that fixed, and our colleagues are a little bit slower, only because it's one little part of their massive network that they have to do.
Yes, and particularly, I guess, from our point of view, that there are a lot of people use it for recreation and it would be a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, look, it's got to be done. So we're pushing really hard, and that's currently happening.
Well, we've run out of time for that one, so we'll have to get you back again to continue discussions and finish off what we started.
Great.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne.
If you enjoy this MPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.